Welcome to Unity Fort Worth Online. We are a spiritual center of love and wisdom, affirming God's presence in our lives and reaching the larger community in ever-increasing circles of good.
Those lovebirds sing together so well. Well, We are thrilled that they're coming together in marriage, and we're going to say write our little words of love for them this week and next week, and we're happy for them. Thank you for the beautiful music. And the song is so perfect for unity, isn't it? I love NDRRE because she's very grounded in the same teachings that we talk about every week in unity. And that's really the key to mastery is laid out in that song. And that's the idea of releasing the imprisoned splendor, right? We have within us the imprisoned splendor of the light and love of God because we're made in the image and likeness of God. We have all the qualities we're going to ever need. But unfortunately, they're sort of masked over with hides and skins of our conditioning, right, and our forgetfulness. We forget who we are. And so it's a question of opening up a space for that light to shine, that imprisoned splendor to shine. And really, that's the key to mastery. The key to mastery is realizing who is real in me. Is it all the conditioning? Is it all the skin that I protect myself with? Or is it that light? Yeah. And when we determine it's the light, then we spend more and more time moving towards the light, allowing it to express in our lives. And so I want to share how to do that, basically. This is the fourth in our series of Keys to. We started off with, Keys to Healing. And then we did Keys to Harmony, Keys to Prosperity, now Keys to Mastery, right? And so let's kick it off. There's seven keys, by the way, okay? There were seven in the first week, seven in the third week, seven in the fourth week. I don't know what happened to the second week. We didn't have seven. It was a low-key week, yeah. Yeah, I don't know if it's going to continue like that, but, you know, we're going to have a lot of rim shots today. Charles Fillmore said, thank you, Cheryl. Charles Fillmore wrote these powerful words, this powerful paragraph, which contained, to me, four of the keys right there, right? He said this, we demonstrate mastery and dominion. And folks, we all want this. We want mastery and dominion, not over other people, not so we can control our world, but so we remember who we are. Mastery over all the false nonsense and adverse ego stuff that gets in the way so often, right? We want mastery over that. We want to be masters of existence so that we can spread more light in our world. That's our God-given desire, I think, to do that. So we demonstrate mastery and dominion by persistently thinking thoughts of power and strength in the absolute principle of truth and through the I am, establishing them in our own consciousness. I'll read it one more time. We demonstrate mastery and dominion by persistently thinking thoughts of power and strength within the absolute principle of truth and through the I am, establishing them in our own consciousness. Let's take it step at a time. First key word there, persistence. You know, nothing is ever achieved unless you are persistent in it. Now, there's a difference between being persistent and banging your head against a brick wall, right? Banging your head against a brick wall is reacting to conditions. Persistence is where you keep going on the spiritual path until you have that breakthrough, until you are so focused. In the East, they call it japa in Hinduism, the repetition of the name of God. In the Eastern Orthodox, there's a great prayer called the Jesus Prayer that monks and lay people affirm thousands of times a day, right? We have the same thing in the Catholic tradition. In Sufism, they call it zikr, the repetition of the name of God. We are focusing on God persistently until we get that new neural pathway driven into our brains so that we can allow that new awareness to express, right? So that's why persistence is so important. Hey, Jesus talked about it. Remember he told the parable of the person who was had a guest in. They'd run out of bread, so they went next door. It was in the middle of the night, knocked on the door, asking for bread. The person said, shut up, go away. But he kept knocking at the door, and the guy eventually said, okay, here's your darn bread. Now get lost. But he gave him the bread. And the message is persistence, right? Keep going. Because the difference in my mind between any kind of success and a so-called failure is not that the person who succeeded didn't fail. Oh, yeah, they did. But what they did was they didn't give up. They kept going, right? That's the success. It's not that we don't experience failures and difficulties. Persistence is moving through them. You know, it's not about, oh, well, if only I was as lucky as him. Nobody's lucky in that sense. We all have to deal with challenges. But have you got that persistent quality? I believe, you know, that it's more important for me to pray and meditate today than it was 40 years ago, not because I've been doing it for 40 years, but because that's the work. That's the opening. It's a consistent, persistent process of spending time in the silence, yes? Using whatever means that are yours. Often repeating the name of God is a very powerful thing to do. Repeating a mantra, repeating a power statement that can bring this consciousness into your life. Yeah. There we go. Thank you very much. And I've got a quote, another one back at you from Sri Nagasiddhata Maharaj. By the way, I'm going to be quoting him a lot this time. I love this book. Sri Nagasiddhata Maharaj was a very counterintuitive person. He was a cigarette salesman in Bombay back in the 60s and 70s. But supposedly he became enlightened, and people were attracted to him like bees to honey or to the flower, to pollen. And he had a little apartment in downtown, near downtown Bombay, and would speak to his people who would come. And some of them wrote his words down and put them in a book, I Am That. So Sri Nagasiddhata Maharaj, great guy. And he wrote this about persistence. He said, you must be extreme to reach the supreme. Good one, huh? You must be, it wasn't Muhammad Ali, it was Sri Nagasiddhata Maharaj. You must be extreme to reach the supreme. You know, I'm just saying that it's important that we keep on keeping on, basically. That's the message, right? Not fruitlessly banging ourselves against a brick wall, like I said, but moving in the direction of the spirit of truth within us, because we recognize that as the truth. And that's the second point he makes. Demonstrate mastery and dominion by persistently thinking thoughts of power and strength, right? As opposed to disempowerment and weakness. So often we are conditioned to think, oh, I can't do it. It's not possible, yeah? But the thing is, it is, because we have that power and that authority of the Christ within us, and therefore we need to claim that. Anybody read the David Hawkins book, Force versus Power, that came out? It's an old book now. Know what I'm talking about? There's a difference between force and power. What is the difference? Force and power. What comes to you? What's that? Love versus fear, same idea, isn't it? You know, when we're trying to force something to happen, we're using our human ego to make it happen often, and we don't always succeed, you know? And we wonder why we don't, because we were forcing it, we're trying to make it happen. It's like in a relationship, if you force it to happen, often it won't. The opposite will happen, it'll fall apart. But when you're flowing with the power of spirit, then you have a force that's within you that is totally different from that ego force. It's the true power of God. And it flows very naturally and effortlessly and accomplishes things. I think the Dalai Lama, for instance, exhibits power. The Chinese have exhibited force, right? They forced their way into Tibet, took it over. But he doesn't hate them. He doesn't use force back. He can't. He doesn't have the power to do that. But he has spiritual power to stay centered in the truth. And as a result, his influence is incalculable around the world. And the diaspora of the Tibetans has meant that the Tibetan teachings are now all over the world. So there's a blessing in that. And so he's meeting force with the power of spirit, right? And that's a much more loving and prevailing power. I think the Romans, when they thought they'd got rid of Jesus, were using force. But the power that was in Jesus was so palpable that it's still resonating today, right? Whereas we've forgotten all about the great Romans and all their influence and power. That's came and it went. Yeah.
I've got a great visual.
Oh, good.
Like magnets, force will cause magnets to repel, but like true power would cause it to attract.
Yeah, I like that. I don't know if that's like scientifically accurate, but sounds good. But yeah, exactly. It's the same idea of opposing forces as opposed to allowing the power to flow, right? And in fact, Charles Fillmore talked about that. He said, when you have faith in an idea and a divine idea, then all the iron filings of your thoughts line up in harmony with that greater idea, right? And you start to flow with it. Excellent. So that's two. Three, he says, persistently thinking thoughts of power and strength in the absolute principle of truth. In other words, centered in the truth, right? Not pushed hither and thither by circumstance, but remembering the truth within something. So often we're pulled off center because we're tied up in the limited circumstances or what the media tells us rather than what's really going on at any given time. There's an old phrase in the Bible. It says, it's got two meanings. It came to pass, right? One, here it is, it came to pass. The other one is, it came to pass. It came to go. It arose and it's going. Because so much in our lives does. It comes to pass. There's very few things that stay the same except the light that burns deep within our beings, right? Which is of God, which is dependable. Like we see almost every week, the sun comes up every day, right? I don't have to worry about it. Were you worrying about it this morning? It wasn't going to come up? Of course not. You relaxed into its power. You let it do its thing. And it did it naturally and effortlessly. And if we could bring our consciousness to allow the beautiful truths of spirit to be that real for us, see, then things would flow in unique and powerful ways for us. Spend so much time worrying about the things that are inconsequential, right? Case in point, yesterday we were coming home from somewhere and some guy was doing something weird on the highway and going slow, you know. So then, it's always on the highway, right? What's that about? It's my lesson to learn, I guess. But anyway, we looked at him, you know, and then afterwards I was saying, I wonder if he's upset. It looked like they were smoking or doing something. I don't know what they were doing. But then I said to Wendy, I said, are they going to come after us now? Oh, my God, you know. So I start compulsing about this, and she says, no, they are not. Not in a million years, they are not. Let it go. And then I kept niggling over it, you know, and eventually she said, just let it go. Let it go. Otherwise, worse things are coming after you. But the mind will take you into most inconsequential, stupid places. Otherwise, I'm totally enlightened. Apart from that, yeah. Stay off the freeway, right. Shut up. Don't encourage it. Don't encourage the paranoia. Can I get to four now? He ends the statement by saying, and through the I am, establishing these truths in our own consciousness, right? We could be very enlightened in our heads. Have you done this? You know the truth. Oh, yeah. But then you try and practice it at work, for instance, and it goes out of the window. I remember when I first came back from India, I was so enlightened. You know, oh, my God, I'd spent time in the mountains and in the jungles and in all these beautiful places. And then I took a job as a high school teacher. Oh, my God. And then I wasn't enlightened anymore. What happened? And I bemoaned the fact, you know, there was my spiritual life. It was so beautiful. And then there was this other life, this real life. Darn it. Why does the real life have to impinge? And so really, a lot of the spiritual path is moving the gap between what we know to be the truth in here and what we are able to practice, right? And it comes from persistence in allowing the consciousness of the I am to be in us. So that we're not just got a nice idea about it, we are it. And the I am is so important in this regard because I am is the name of God, right? It's no mistake, by the way, that Sri Nagasadatta Maharaj's book is called I Am That, you know? Because in Hinduism, that's the phrase that they use to describe the spiritual nature of all of us. I am that. That is difficult to conceptualize, right? It's difficult for your mind to get a hang of it and therefore limit it. It's kind of mysterious. I am that. If you said I am love, then you've got all kinds of concepts and baggage about what love means. Or I am spirit, whatever. We got meanings, but it's hard to put a meaning to that. It just is. I am that. What? That. In other words, that which cannot be defined, right? That which is mysterious but imbues the whole universe. Greater even than concepts about God, because we've all got different concepts about God. My God, your God, you know, the Muslim God, the Christian God. But that is just that. I am that which is beyond control, beyond definition, beyond being boxed, right? Like Jesus said, like the wind that blows freely. I am that. I am that kind of freedom. And when we continue to imbue our consciousness with that, then we become that. Have you noticed this? Whatever you focus upon, that's generally what you see experienced out pictured in your life, right? So if we want to focus on be centered in the truth, then let's focus on that. I am that is a great affirmation. Here's some other ones. I am centered and poised in the Christ Spirit. Nothing can disturb the calm peace of my soul. It's probably one of my favorites of all time. I am, this is a nice one, I am a radiating center of divine love, mighty to attract my good and radiate good to others. Isn't that lovely? I am a radiating center of divine love, mighty to attract my good and to radiate good to others, because it's a win-win situation when you're moving with spirit. Because if I affirm for myself I am that, then I have to, don't I, acknowledge that you are that too. We are that. We're all in this together. It's a raising of consciousness here for the whole planet. That's the beauty of this. I am now in the presence of pure being. It's another one. And the one that's been turned into a beautiful chant, I am free, I am unlimited. Right? Create those new neural pathways. So those are four of the keys. Now, I got three more that I'd like to add. And the fifth one is sift what is the truth from what isn't. Sift. Now, what does it mean to sift something? To separate. It's like separating the wheat from the chaff, right? That which is non-essential from what is essential. And we do that through self-observation, through being willing to look. I got to tell a story about an ad from the 60s in Britain, by the way, about flour, okay? And, you know, back in the day, the whiter the flour, the better, you know? Now it's the browner the flour, the better. You know, things have changed over the years. But back in the 60s, it was the whiter, it was more pure, and the finer it was, the better, you know? Which is crazy, really, because that's not really healthy. But there was this very, as I call it, toffee nose. Nobody knows what toffee nose is. Kind of stuck up person, you know, got a toffee nose, kind of stuck up. And on the ad, he goes, grated grains make finer flour. I know it doesn't make any sense to Texans, but basically it's saying grated grains make finer flour, you know. Grated grains make finer flour. I grew up working class, basically. So I hated that ad for some reason. Anyway, that has nothing to do with the sermon, but it does tell you a lot about me. You know, over the Temple of Delphi, there was a sign. Over the Temple of Apollo at Delphi, there was a sign that read, "Man, know thyself," right? That's what we're called to do. And how do you know yourself? By being willing to look at the messy bits, right? Because that's where we get our greatest breakthrough. If we're sitting around thinking, oh, I'm perfect now, I understand the truth, I'm a spiritual being, wonderful, but then you got to go back to work, you know? But when we can look at the obstacles, the things that really push our buttons, like strange people on highways, then that can be the greatest breakthrough, is being honest to really look at that. Self-knowledge comes from self-observation, right? The ability to look. Listen to what Sri Nagasadatta Maharaj said about it. He said, all you have to do is give attention to the obstacles created by your foolish mind. Interesting. All you have to do is to give attention to the obstacles created by your foolish mind. Now, why would we want to focus on our obstacles? What? so you can see your life in a different way, so you can do a new thing. Folks, if you can't see what's not working and what's not good, how can you change it, right? But you're bringing light to it. That's the thing. The first four keys are bringing light into the situation, releasing their imprisoned splendor, so you can see clearly from the light that you are, right? That's the key here. I can see clearly now the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way, right? Gone are the clouds that had me blind. It's going to be a bright, bright, sunshiny day. Amen. You know, I'm working on a book right now. I think I'm going to do it. I want to do it, but you know, I'm lazy sometimes. But I got lots of other things to do, I guess. But on spirituality of rock songs, because I think there's so much spirituality in rock songs, and I think just to have a book describing that would be awesome. Yeah, woo! Face everything, basically. That's the key here, right? When you have the light of truth, look. Don't be afraid to look, because the greatest obstacles could be your greatest releases and joys once you truly understand them. Trust me on that one. This is the counterintuitive way the spiritual life works. So it's okay to look at those parts that you really don't want to look at. Because when we do look at them, we understand ourselves in a beautiful way, and we release the need to be stuck in that place. We remember there's a force greater. So that's five. Six comes back to what Jones says. He says, let go and let God. I prefer to say it, let God do God's thing. Let her do a thing, you know, because so often we want to force it again instead of allowing the power of God to express. And we hate those words from the Lord's Prayer, don't we? Thy will be done. No! Thy will. Why do we fear that? Why is that a resisting thing for us so often? It's apparently not what we want, right? But of course, God has got a greater vision for what's ours than we do. But for some reason, we don't trust it, you know? Like, I got a better son that's coming up tomorrow. Oh, yeah? You got a better son? Come on, then bring it in. You know, we wouldn't do that. Well, that's stupid. But we do it in other areas of our lives. You know, I got a better plan than yours, God. Listen, I got to tell something from personal testimony because I can't speak for anybody else. But every single thing that I've received as a blessing in my life that I can think of all through my life, whether it be education, jobs, relationships, everyone has come because I have allowed God in. I haven't tried to push it myself. Now, I've been open and receptive and wanted something maybe to move into my life, but I didn't second guess it and try and force it. It came because I allowed God to be God in that circumstance, and it brought me miracle beyond miracle. Every time I try and force something, it may work or it may not. You know, but when I can release and allow, then that mastery comes because I receive things I could never have imagined by my human agency. See, that's the power of this. Now, seven's coming up. And that means after that, pop quiz, that's right. Before we move to seven, though, one more thing about six, that the idea of letting God do God's thing. The word we often use is non-resistance. Again, people don't like that because it sounds passive. Who to be non-resistant? Because I want to achieve, you know? And it's okay to achieve. It's okay to persist. But non-resistance is mean I'm not resisting and reacting to every little circumstance that happens in my life. I'm affirming that it came to pass. It doesn't have to control me. I could be non-resistant and allowing the light to flow. It's like flowing in the river, right? We are allowing it. We're taking care. We steer between the banks, but we're allowing that amazing flow and power of God to guide us in our life's journey. So seven, most important thing I think we teach in Unity, and that is a thing called the silence. And all religions talk about it. The Old Testament talks about it. Be still and know that I am God. Jesus spent whole days and nights in prayer sometimes. He said to adverse circumstance, peace, be still. We see it in Eastern religions. All religions emphasize this time in the silence. As I said earlier, it's not a question of, you know, well, I got it now. I don't need to be in the silence. No, it's a day-by-day thing, isn't it? Remembering, going into that silent place. Let me read what Sri Nagasadatta Maharaj said about it. been looking at his book a lot this week, hence all these quotes, but I think they're very good. He said, a quiet mind is all you need. All else will happen rightly once your mind is quiet. As the sun on rising, there it is again, as the sun on rising makes the world active, so does self-awareness affect changes in the mind. In the light of calm and steady self-awareness, inner energies wake up and work miracles without any effort on your part, on our part. See, we don't even know how it works until we let it. So we put it into practice. We say, oh, I don't know if that's going to work. Well, you'll never know unless you risk it, right? That's the thing. I love this because I think it's so true. As the sun rises, the world becomes active. So when the light of calm and steady self-awareness, the remembrance of the truth of our being, of the imprisoned splendor within us, becomes part of our self-awareness, and we persist in remembering that, right? Focusing on the I am consciousness, then inner energies wake up and work miracles without any effort on our part. We will be in the flow of God's infinite good. That's the basic message I'm hearing here, yeah? It's powerful. Here we go. Hey, yeah.
Persistence.
That's number one. Keep on keeping on. Don't give up. I got a thing to say about that right at the end. Was that the second one? Invoke power, right? Allow the power of spirit to rule, not the power of this world, the so-called power of this world. Two. Three. Stay centered in the truth, because that's the true power. Four. Make that active through the I am, through your I am awareness. Create those new neural pathways. Five. Sift what is true from what isn't. Be willing to look at the obstacles in your life. Number six says, like a little puppet show here.
Don't be a toffee nose.
Don't be a toffee nose, yeah. That's right. And who cares about those finer flour grains? Yeah, let go, trust. And then finally, spend more time in the silence. Be in that silent place. I do want to do a shout out to Gary, though, our good friend Gary here, because Gary has been dealing with, and we've shared this also when we offered a prayer up for Gary the other week, dealing with severe health challenges. And we thought he was going to go and leave us. And we never thought he'd come back to church and be with us and worship and celebrate with us. So I just want to hold Gary in love and light right now. And there he is. We love you, Gary. We appreciate you. We behold the Christ in you. And you see around him all the wonderful caregivers. And of course, Melanie has been with him for several years now. And Amy there. And we appreciate you too and all you are giving to him. So thank you. And it's an evidence to me of putting into practice this truth, right? Of persistence, of staying centered in love and light, and being examples of that in our world. So for all that, thank you, God. Amen.
Thanks for listening. This ministry is funded through the generous contributions of individuals just like you. If you have found spiritual enrichment here, please visit us online at unityfortworth.org and make a donation. We sincerely thank you for your contribution, and we affirm with you, divine love through me blesses and multiplies all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive, and I am grateful.